fans. This is Molly welcoming you back to Season 2 of Mysteries About True Histories. Get ready for more math, more history, and of course, more mysteries.
You tell him, Rufus. You hear that, Mr. Squirrel? You're surrounded. So drop the homework, and there's no need to pursue this further.
Max, what the heck are you doing?
That squirrel stole my English homework. And now he's racing up a tree.
Are you serious?
Look, you can see him in the tree.
I don't mean the racing up a tree part. I mean the homework part. No teacher is ever going to believe that a squirrel took your homework.
I know. That's why I have to get it back.
Not everything has to be a battle, Max. She's probably just building a nest. Let's give her something else. Like a blank sheet of paper.
How do you know it's a she? I've been calling him Mr. Squirrel.
Whatever it is, let me see your notebook. Mr. or Mrs. Squirrel, may I interest you in this freshly torn, unblemished, college-ruled paper? What you have there is a B-minus essay at best.
Hey!
Relax, I'm just trying to sweeten the trade.
It's working! He's coming down! Ha-ha! Got it. Stand down, Rufus. Mission accomplished.
See? Mr. or Mrs. Squirrel didn't know it was your homework. They were just trying to solve a problem like us. It's just that we have different approaches to problem solving.
Yeah. Well, sometimes one person's problem solving is another person's problem causing. And then you've got the troublesome trolls who are just trying to cause problems for the heck of it. And now we've got the pogs and their moles who are up to who know what. All I can say is, whatever it is, I'm sure it's no good.
Would you say insidious?
Absolutely.
What about treacherous, devious, or sinister?
That too.
Could you imagine existing only to cause problems whose effects will last a lifetime? Who does that?
If only everyone devoted their energy into inventing and creating and solving problems. Just imagine all the additional advancements we'd be making in science, technology,
music,
sports. Wait a minute. Aunt Em, how'd you get here?
Right. You weren't here when I walked up. You just appeared.
What can I say? I put a lot of my energy into inventing and creating, so my travel modes are quite advanced.
More advanced than time travel?
Maybe. And as for your question, Molly, as to why anyone devote all their time and energy to causing problems, I'm not sure we'll ever really know the answer to that. But sometimes people who are unhappy or scared only feel happy or brave when they're making everyone else unhappy or scared.
Wow, that's pretty deep, Aunt Em.
It's just the way of the world, young Max.
Which is why we have to keep being positive and constructive.
And innovative.
That's what problem solvers do.
Oh, I see. I have a feeling there's a mission coming.
You're very astute. I'm sending you two to Koguryo, which is now modern-day Korea.
Ooh, that sounds exciting. How far back?
The year 475 CE. There you will find a monk named Dorim, a master of the game, Baduk.
Wait, I think I know that game. Here we call it Go.
That's right, Molly.
Go? I don't think I know Go.
It's played on a board that's a square grid, sort of like with checkers and chess, except the players don't put their white or black stones inside the squares.
Where do you put them?
On the intersection of two perpendicular lines.
Oh, you mean like where two lines cross?
Yes.
You could have just said that instead of being all fancy.
Anyway, it's played on a grid of 19 by 19 lines.
Which means 19 times 19 will give us the number of intersections.
Which is also the number of available moves.
And 19 times 19 is...
Well, what's 19 times 20?
2 times 19 is 38. So 380.
Minus 20?
360.
Plus 1.
361. Phew. So there are 361 moves you can make.
Right. Only in the game, they're called points.
It's a conquering game, originally invented in China, but it was popular all over Asia for centuries, especially in palace courts.
Probably because in that era, all the neighboring kingdoms were struggling to actually take territory from each other to expand their kingdoms. This game is just the play-at-home version.
Very astute, both of you. Chef's kiss.
So, Dorim, the master of this game of skill and strategy, I suppose he has something to teach us?
No. You have to beat him.
Beat him? You just described him as a master of this game I just learned about. And Molly, well, she's very good at a lot of things, but can she beat the master of Badook?
I would bet on him if I were you.
Listen, I wouldn't send you if I didn't have faith in your abilities. Remember, there are two of you, and only one of him.
Okay, let's just assume that together we're that good. Why do we need to beat him?
He has a cryptic list of moles, which could prove extremely valuable in our efforts to discover the mole's path of destruction and stop it.
But wait, if Dorim is a problem solver, can't we just ask him for it?
It's not quite that simple. You both know that not everyone is a fully fledged problem solver or a fully indoctrinated mole. There's a lot of in between.
Ah, the infamous gray area.
Very astute, Molly. So while some people's intentions aren't necessarily evil, they are frequently short-sighted.
They could just be looking out for themselves.
I do that sometimes.
Or they're not paying attention.
I check out sometimes.
This is why the problem solvers must be extra diligent. Dorim is sympathetic to our mission and willing to share the list. But as a master of Badook, he is always on the lookout for worthy opponents. He figures anyone clever enough to beat him at Badook is deserving of the list and is probably sharp enough to solve it and dedicated enough to protect it.
Great. I thought not everything was a battle.
This sounds like more a friendly competition, like soccer.
That's the spirit. Now, go get that list and make me proud. I know you will.
Okay, but one more thing. Hey, where'd he go?
Advanced travel. I guess we'd better get going, too.
Rufus, hold down the fort. Mr. Dorim?
Oh, they've come to beat me, though never before did they meet me.
We understand you have a list for us.
Maybe. But first, you must win.
Best 2 out of 3?
Best 3 out of 5?
You only need to win once, but I am the master. Strategy is my expertise.
Maybe you would accept some sort of trade? May I offer you a slice of freshly torn, unblemished, 21st century, college-ruled binder paper?
No. You must play. Your go.
Nice try, Max. Well, sometimes there's nothing to do but start on square one. Intersection one.
This is going to be fun. For me. Seven games to me, none for you. Face it, I am a brilliant strategist in games and in life.
And so humble.
And exhausting. Say, shouldn't there be some kind of added challenge for you? Or a handicap, like in golf? As a master, wouldn't your victory be more impressive and satisfying if you had to overcome greater obstacles to win?
But it's already twice as hard for me. There are two of you.
Okay, Max. The object of this game is to gain the most territory, which is done by building the most substantial line, wall, or shape of stones.
But if our wall is surrounded, our stones can be captured.
If we play a stone on a corner, there are only 2 points needed for Dovrim to play and capture our stone. On an edge, there are 3. And in the middle, he would have to play 4 stones to R1 to capture.
So, generally speaking, we have a greater chance of expanding a longer wall by starting in the middle, where it requires more moves to capture us.
Once, I posed as an exile from my home of Kugulyo to infiltrate our rival court of Pekche. I started a months-long tournament of sorts with a wordy Paduk opponent named Cairo. But what he didn't realize is that I was not merely playing Paduk, but a much larger game of strategy.
Oh?
Yikes. This guy's crazy.
Hang on. He obviously loves to talk about himself. Maybe we can get him to give something away.
I convinced Kato to build more and more on their land, to create more extravagant palaces, to show off the wealth of their kingdom. Then, after having depleted their resources, giving in to their own pride, I sent word back to my kingdom to invade! And we were able to do so easily, and now all those extravagant palaces are ours!
Ah, so you tricked him into showing off.
Exactly. They spent all their money and had no resources left to defend their kingdom.
Very clever. Wait, does that mean this guy is a mole?
If he's not, he's very mole-ish.
Okay, enough with the whispering. It's your turn. Play.
Okay. Sorry, it takes us a minute. We're not masters like you are.
Yeah. Your strategy is just amazing.
I know. One day they will write my story in the Samguksagi, the history of the 3 nations. Korea's oldest surviving historical chronicle. Tell your friends back home to look me up.
Trying to make his ego part of our strategy. Wow. You're a celebrity too? How could we ever hope to compete with a master strategist like you?
I think we should call it a night. We've been here for hours.
What? No, keep playing.
You know, if our wall of stone snakes all around instead of remaining bunched up, it will require exponentially more stones to surround and capture us.
Exponentially?
Yes. It means characterized by rapid growth. In other words, it will require more and more of his stones to capture ours. He'll be depleting his resources.
Ah, just like the story he told. Only it'll be him.
Exactly.
Oh, trying a new strategy, are you? No matter. I am the master.
Look, he's already chasing us down. We're doomed.
I thought it would work. Oh, well. Our final stone.
But wait, it appears we've conquered more of the board.
Huh?
Are you okay?
I don't know. It seems you have beaten me with your new, yet familiar strategy. Oh, well played. Here is that which you seek.
But these are all just symbols.
Quite so. But they say you are a problem solver. Solve the problem.
Aunt Murgatroyd did say it would be cryptic.
Okay. But let's get out of here. I'm starving.
Oh, wait! One more game?
Sorry, pal. We've got work to do.
Thanks for playing.
I gotta say, now I'm craving Korean food. Bulgogi, kimchi,
bibimbap?
Now you're talking. Come on, let's go eat.
Hold on. We better put the squirrel somewhere safe. Better yet, let me get a picture of it first. We don't know who else is looking for it.
Yeah, but even if they got it, good luck deciphering it. It looks like ancient graffiti art.
If anyone can do it, it's Aunt Murgatroyd.
Right. Oh, wait. I just remembered. We have to go to school, and I'm supposed to turn in my English essay.
Right. Although, I must say I'm pretty beat after playing 8 games of Baduk against a master.
I know. We can talk my mom into ordering Korean food. Then we can take a nap. And then we can use the time machine to come back to now so we can go to school. In fact, we can come back to before the squirrel stole my essay.
I know we're not supposed to use the time machine for unauthorized time travel, but I think we deserve it after getting that scroll.
Exactly. Besides, we're conditional members of the Order of Problem Solvers now. Surely we should get more perks, right?
Right. Where should I hide the scroll?
Just put it in this desk drawer. Nobody would ever look in there. All right, let's go eat.
What are you barking at, boy? You see someone out there?
Probably just another squirrel. Come on, boy.
This episode of Mysteries About True Histories was written by Libby Ward and voiced by Dexter Danger Mayo, Molly Smith, Sheila Morris, and Sherry B. Tay. Original music by Brian Suarez. Our associate producer is Max Kamaski. Technical direction and sound design by Josh Hahn. Mysteries About True Histories was created and produced by Adam Tex Davis and Jerry Colbert and is an Atomic Audio production.
You're listening to ICANN. Oregon Coast Aquarium is a journey from seafloor to shore, and we're offering a wave of new experiences. This summer, you can hone your climbing skills in their new nature play area. Then head over to their outdoor amphitheater to meet a cast of animal ambassadors, or view their headwaters feature to follow a raindrop's voyage from the mountains to the sea. You can plan your next adventure at aquarium.org.